Morning, Mr. Chairman, senators, representatives. My name is Chris Bolt. I am a resident of Dover. I'm also a lawyer, but I am not a tax lawyer. I am a dirt lawyer. I work with real estate and land use, and I am not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to talking about tax issues. However, I'm also a business owner. I'm a partner of my firm. I'm here representing myself. I don't have an orange badge, and frankly, I don't want one. My concern as a business owner that tries to keep nine partners and 23 other employees functioning, I'm on my executive committee, is trying to comprehend this set of rules and how it will affect, frankly, me and my wife. Because my firm is created as a professional liability, limited liability company, an LLC. What we have is the standard situation of an LLC. That means all income that comes in goes first to pay expenses, including associates, paralegals, and secretaries, rent, things of that nature. And I only get paid at the end of the day if we've made a profit. That is, costs do not exceed revenues. I've got to tell you, in this economy, that sometimes is a tough call. What we have in these rules is, my phrase, is a disconnect between what actually happens on the street and a disconnect between what is said these rules are targeting and what they actually say. What happens on the street is a LLC or a partnership, the members of that get a K-1. That means everything that flows through to them is shown out on that form, and that K-1 is then translated over to a 1040. Basically, my bottom line on the K-1 is the bottom line on the first page of the 1040. In no way, shape, or form does the federal government think I've gotten dividends. When I get dividends, for example, I still own shares in First Tennessee, which was my father's first job, and he transferred those to me. That, if I get $1.79 in a given year, or $374, or whatever it is, that shows up on line 19 of my 1040. That's interest in dividends. In essence, because I'm not managing First Tennessee. I am managing my law firm. Just like the other folks who may speak today, they're business owners doing sweat equity. I'm not being paid, even by my partners, to be here today. This is non-billable time, but it's important time. This is something that you do have authority, because you've already made a couple tweaks to the rules, to clarify what is truly intended by these rules. If you look at the frequently asked questions page that came out from the commissioner in January 19th or 20th with the final set of rules, there was, I believe, in frequently asked question number 17, the statement, the intention of the tax is to tax investment income, not earned income. At no point in these rules is that statement made. If that statement of intent was made, that may well go a long way to clarifying the various concerns of members that were stated and members of the public that are very much confused about these rules. Additionally, if a change was made to Revenue Rule 901, yes, sir.
I am taking notes, but I wish to make sure that I don't forget anything when the commissioner comes back to the table. Would you repeat that statement, please, because
Surely.
Write fast, but not quite that fast.
Not a problem. I'm sometimes get ahead of myself. Frequently asked question number 17 that was submitted January 19th or 20th with the final set of rules has the statement that the intention of the tax is to tax investment income, not earned income. But nowhere in the rules does that statement of purpose or clarity come forward. If you look also at Rule 901.08, that is the definition 901.08 on your current view, current version, that is on page 2. The definition of dividends. That definition is incredibly broad. That definition reaches the bottom line of my K1, not line 19 of the 1040. If you put in a statement of clarity into that definition that basically says you are seeking amounts of property distributed to a passive member or partner who does not participate in the day-to-day operations of the entity, that creates a definition that then is closer to what I believe the true intent of the statute was, that you are seeking to get that passive investment income, not the earned wages of the owners. A similar change would need to occur in 903.05, which is the deemed dividends passage.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell me on that passive member? I've heard that before. Can you tell me where you might put that? I missed that.
On page 2, right now it says an amount of property distributed with respect to their ownership interest. After that parenthetical, amount of property distributed, I'm missing my notes here, to a passive member or partner who does not participate in the day-to-day operations of the entity. Surely. That then addresses Senator Silly's situation where all that sweat equity is recognized as something that's beyond the pale of this tax.
You mentioned that it needs to go in another place in the rules, and you named a number, and I missed it.
903.05, page 10.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question.
Thank you for your testimony. I want to make sure I understand your question. You're suggesting that we add language that says we only distribute dividends to, say the phrase again, passive member.
Passive member or partner who does not participate in the day-to-day.
Okay, so my question is, for example, if I'm in an LLC, you know, have $350,000 in profit, and I put $250,000, that's gross, I net out $100,000 after your expenses. Of that $100,000, I pay myself. I'm actively working in my LLC. I'm not a passive member. I'm active. I then distribute to myself throughout the year some level. It's in the net. It's not part of the net. It's in the $350,000, $250,000 business expenses, including, I might add, your salary, because you're not a passive member of the LLC. You now have $100,000 left over. So you put $50,000 back into that, and then there's $50,000 left, right? What you're saying is we can only tax that, or we have to have language in there that it won't be taxable if that is distributed. It's taxable if it's distributed to a passive member. But if I've already given myself a salary and there's $50,000 left after all of those other things happen, and I'm an active member, and I take that other $50,000, you're telling me we can't add that?
Correct, because that's just like the corporations who right now pay if an officer or director is getting a salary and at the end of the day there is some left over and they want to reward that officer or director with a bonus, that is taxed to the individual as income, but it is not taxed as a distribution for the corporation because it's above the line. It doesn't go to a shareholder. Shareholders get the K-1, the officer and director get a W-2. So the other way of...
May I just...
Sure.
I appreciate this. We all do. It's important. But have you gone to your accountants to ask questions about...
And I have gotten the, we don't understand this right now.
But as we further... Thank you.
One other, if I may, comment.
Do you take those questions or concerns to any of the public hearings?
Yes, I did. My wife and I showed up at the January 5th hearing in Berlin. At that time, it was explained that the rules were under revision. This would be, one of those things that was possibly going to be clarified.
Flagged it, and when we bring you
sure.
into that, the comment back, it will be addressed.
In short, if you make these amendments to the rules, which are within your authority, you avoid the argument that you have created an income tax on the members of LLCs that are not applicable to the employees of the state, a sole proprietor, or the officer directors of corporations. By avoiding this, you have basically solved some of the problems that you want to avoid and are trying to push to the other members of the legislature. You can, is my understanding, reject the rules, amend the rules, or put the rules to the body of the general court as a whole. And I ask you, when in doubt, don't pass these rules. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to go back briefly to your first suggestion and comment about a lack of statement regarding the applicability or the intention of applicability. So your suggestion was that it could be such a purpose phrase or statement in the rules themselves.
Correct. If you add a statement of intent and these other clarifications of definition, then you have the consistency between what has been stated the purpose of the rules are to be, the frequently asked questions language, and the rules themselves. You don't have that disparity, that disconnect between the two.